The umpire was telling me to stand the mark, and I didn't want to borrow that. I'll give you the hot tip.
One of the harder challenges of your football career is just being able to get yourself ready to play and beat your best week in, week out.
I don't really see it as a big deal, really. It's rumour and innuendo, and I've got nothing to do with it.
I think where we are is an accurate reflection of how we're performing.
I love the communication that the umpires have with the players. You know, when Razor gives someone a pat on the back, usually it's an experimental medalist just so he gets a bit of airtime, or like that.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Nice to have him with us always. I'm sure he'd probably prefer to be somewhere else this morning, I must admit, though, after the news yesterday from the Magpies. Good morning, Taylor.
Good morning, Huff.
Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
How's your last couple of days been?
Yeah, good. Good. It's obviously a bit happening in the world of the AFL at the moment. So
correct.
Plenty to cover this morning.
Plenty to cover. Firstly, before we get into the front page items today from your club, how are you, body wise?
Yeah, getting there. Still not playing this week, and unlikely for the week after. But still holding out hope. It's just not progressing as well as we would like it to be. Still a little bit sore down there. So yeah, that's basically where I'm at the moment.
So throughout the bye period, were you intensive rehabilitating, or what were you doing?
Yeah, I stayed around Melbourne, and I was able to get three sessions in with our rehab physio, Ben Shippard, and Matty Boyd, and got touched up a couple of times by Boydie, who's still fitter than most of our list, so that was good. So I got some really good training in over the bye, and was able to make up some ground. And hopefully I can put my hand up for selection in a couple of weeks.
What now? I had heard a little bit of a whisper that on the track yesterday you spent a fair bit of time having a chat to Nathan Buckley at one point. What happens in that situation when Bucks has a chat to you? Because obviously you're frustrated, you want to be playing and all that sort of thing. What's the role of Nathan in supporting you through this frustrating period in your season?
Well, the emotion that I was feeling on Monday wasn't really frustration. It was more I was upset. Sort of got some news that I sort of walked into the club on Monday with a bit of an optimistic approach, thinking that I might be a chance to put my hand up for this week or show some signs of improvement from Friday. And unfortunately, it was still a little bit sore. So my initial response was frustration. But then once I ran out of the track with the boys, I sort of became a little bit upset. Felt like I was missing out again and sort of became overwhelmed. And Bucks read the play pretty well and saw that I wasn't my usual jovial self, and just asked me how I was and sort of broke down with him. And we had just a good chat out in the track for 45 minutes about his experiences, and he gave me some advice, and it was good. I just sort of opened up to him, and probably not the right place to do it when there's cameras and people around, but it was the right time for him and I to have a good chat, and I was able to get some quality out of my session after that and felt good about it.
So obviously Nathan had those hamstring issues which really plagued the back end of his career. What are the sort of things that he was talking to you about to help you? I mean, that's pretty dramatic that you break down on the training track.
Yeah, it's probably
not physically.
A little bit unlike me to do something like that. But we basically just spoke about how we can make such a negative situation that I'm currently in into a positive, and turn my season, which I think I'm dramatising, that's been almost washed away, into something that can be something really special. So it's not all doom and gloom, and that was basically his message, that I'm still valued around the group and can have a huge impact even when I'm not playing. So I think that's half the battle with players that are in rehab. You sort of feel a little bit undervalued because you can't do what you want to do and do what you know you can do out in the field. So for him to recognise that speaks volumes of the sort of coach he is.
Is it an element of panic that you're seeing a team that you've been part of now for quite some time? You're in the top two. There's every chance you're going to head back towards at least September, that you're not going to be part of it. Is that part of your emotion, or is it more you can't be the leader you want to be? What's sort of evoking this emotion?
Well, logically, I know that I'm going to get back. I know for a fact I'm going to play footy this year again. Just I want to be playing right now. So I guess I'm impatient with, you know, in the fact that I'm missing out every week. Every week that goes by, I don't get to play. Yeah, the emotion probably started at frustration, has now led to a little bit more of just sadness, because I really miss playing. I miss doing what I love doing, and that's basically where it's at. Like, when I think about it, and really delve into it, I know that I'm going to be fine towards the end of the year, and you know, the season isn't a complete waste for me. I think the frustrating thing for me is, you know, I barely missed a session in the preseason, then I come out and hurt my finger, and then play four games, and then re-injure myself. So I'll get over it and work through it. It's just a little hurdle, and once I get to the other side of it, it'll feel quite insignificant, I think.
Taylor, we can hear the emotion in your voice, and we can see it on your face. It's a tough time, obviously, being in rehab, and as you've expressed, there's been the finger and then this re-injury. What sort of things does the club put around you to kind of help you through that from a mental point of view?
Oh, they've been really good with just overall my training program. It's sort of been run by myself, driven by myself, and sort of helped by our rehab physio and our head of strength and conditioning, Kevy. So the support that I've been given a lot of autonomy to take time when I needed it. The easy bit for me is training. I get to the club and I look forward to training. Mm. It's all the stuff that goes in between the, you know, your days off, your half days, where I feel like I'm sort of just floating around and not getting better. So the club have been awesome. If needed, there's plenty of support that you can seek outside. I've got a full-time psychiatrist that obviously has a strong focus on your mental performance in games, but also just your general health and well-being. So, there's no shortage of support for me at the footy club. And, you know, I mentioned all those guys, and you think about the coaching staff, like my line coaches, and then Bucks. Nick Maxwell's there, you can lean on. And then all the players that have been great support for all the boys that go through any sort of injury.
Does an element of the frustration come because of the uncertainty that when you originally did your groin, you thought you were going to be back in 2 weeks? It was amazing the recovery that you had, and unfortunately you had that re-rupture. Is that part of it, or where does the main sense of frustration come for you?
I keep hearing the word frustration, but
I don't want to put words in now.
I'm not really frustrated about the situation. Like, it is what it is. I'm upset about it. I guess I was frustrated early that I re-injured it, but that's not the overwhelming feeling that I'm feeling at the moment. The feeling is basically just like sadness and just missing out. Like, and it's not like my life's consumed with it by it. It's just, it is what it is. And unfortunately, at the moment, I'm not doing what I want to be doing, and I'm probably not progressing as fast as what I'd like. And that's probably what it amplifies the feeling. As I said, like that obviously that chat up with Bucks was always going to get back to somebody with the cameras and people there. And ideally it doesn't, but I'm pretty comfortable talking about it, because I know that I'm not the only bloke going through it in the AFL. There's, you know, 10 on each list. So it's something that as a professional athlete you have to deal with, and I actually enjoy being open with it. I've told, obviously my teammates saw the conversation as well, and there's been some follow-up conversations about that, and it just sort of evokes help and support.
Yeah, and actually you talk about the elite end and of so many people going through that, but people go through this sort of thing in recovery from different situations, not being able to be as engaged in the stuff, your day-to-day stuff. Yeah, so it's
exactly.
Having those discussions actually is really important.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's a good time to have a business where you can punch things for a while you're there. When you're 12 round in Port Melbourne, the punching bags, you could just go there and just punch yourself silly.
Yeah, a fair bit of that, yes.
Good time to do that, to get some of that emotion out of the bag there. Pop in and see him too at Port Melbourne. 12 rounds of Ripper. You'll love it. 19 past 7, Taylor Adams from the Magpies joining us in the Inner Sanctum this morning. Now, clearly, there is a topic we need to get our teeth into after the break. It is front page news in regards to one of your teammates. You talk about Nathan Buckley having to throw his arms around you and the support network that you've used up. I reckon Jaden might need a bit of that through in the next little bit. We'll talk more about it, to what you know, after this on The Breakfast Club.
Exclusive access, behind closed doors, the Breakfast Club's inner sanctum.
I'm not going to make any comment about anything that may or may not be before the integrity department.
What's the difference between betting irregularity and match fixing?
Well, what's the point of the question?
Well, if a player's been investigated for betting irregularity, does that also involve...
I haven't made any comment about anyone being investigated for anything.
No, that's why I said if a player is.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to deal in hypotheticals.
So you're not aware if there is an investigation as reported?
No, I didn't say that either. I said I'm not making any comment
I'm
about...
I'm asking the question.
What's the question now?
Are you aware of this investigation?
I said I'm not commenting on anything that may or may not be before the integrity part.
That's what he did say. He did say that. He wasn't listening, the journo, but good pressing against the chief yesterday, in fact, Gillon McLachlan facing the media on the crowd behaviour issues and the crowd relationship issues with the AFL yesterday. But it got sidelined a little bit because the news broke that Jaden Stevenson from the Magpies is being questioned by the AFL Integrity Unit for some betting irregularities. My understanding is, and Taylor Adams is with us in the inner sanctum. He's a teammate of Jaden Stevenson. Do you know much about this, Tay? Just to break it open quickly, do you know much about this?
Oh, like clearly we're aware of what's happening. And there's, well, something's happened. We're just, I don't know any details about anything. I know it's basically as much as you guys do, and if I went out and said something, I'd be speculating and speaking in rumour and innuendo. So it's something that we hope was going to be resolved, you know, sooner rather than later, because yep, we've got a game to deal with this week. But unfortunately, it hasn't been. We haven't come to a conclusion yet.
Are you fearful? I don't know how far you look ahead or how much time you had to think about the possibilities of this scenario. Are you fearful that this could derail the Magpies' season? Because he's an important player. If things go pear-shaped and he gets a suspension, which is very possible, that it might derail your season?
No. I don't really want to speculate about what is going to happen before it does. I think the best thing for us to do at the moment as a footy club is to wait for it to pan out, wait for it to play out, get all the facts, see what's handed down to Jaden, if anything, and then deal with it from there. And that's what I think is the best way to go about it.
Did you know about it? Did anyone know about it before yesterday at the club? Or from your teammates?
No, I didn't know about it until yesterday.
And what's the initial reaction when it comes out? Without speculating, but as a teammate and a mate of Jaden's, what goes through your mind?
Well, first and foremost, I sort of want to give the kid a big hug. Make sure that he's okay, and I don't know to what extent the impact this is going to have on him or on us, so I'm sort of hopeful that it's minimal, I think as a player and a teammate and a friend of Jaden, all I really care about at the moment is him and making sure that he's okay, and yeah, he'll get a lot of support at the footy club, and he'll get a lot of support for as long as he needs it, depending on what happens with this situation.
The last question on it, are you surprised considering the situation with players and not being able to bet on games? Are you surprised that another Collingwood player is caught up in it? Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I guess it does. That, well, again, I don't know what he's done, so it's hard for me to be surprised. But if it's... I think the rules are black and white for players. Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Can I just broaden it out slightly? Because there is a lot of work that is done with AFL players in particular around education, around a lot of different areas, and gambling and this sort of thing is one of them. Can you take us through what that process is and how clear your understanding is of what's okay and what's not?
Yeah, it's really basic. It's basic. Basically, we get told every year about the rules and regulations around quite a number of things. And one of those is gambling and betting on our game in any form, and it's prohibited. So,
for you, there's no, as it's you say, clear. There's no grey area.
It's very clear. Mm. Yeah.
So can I broaden it even further then? Last couple of weeks there's been a lot of conversation about gambling within the AFL.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it firsthand that it actually is a problem? Would you, through your experiences, say that it is an issue within the AFL community? The
gambling on AFL? Or
no, just get with gambling full stop.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think there's a lot that's done about making sure that there's no match fixing or anything like that, and no betting on necessarily AFL, but probably not enough about guys with gambling problems and, you know, spending too much money than they can afford to spend on betting. And I think it is a genuine issue within the AFL and within AFL players, and something that I think can be addressed for sure.
So who are the people that need to really be vocal about this element? Just forget about Jaden and the footy betting, but gambling full stop in within the ranks. Who are the ones that you would like to see take charge of this conversation? Because it is seemingly having an effect on a lot of people within the industry.
Yeah, well, I think it's got to be a combined effort from the AFL, the AFLPA, and the players to make sure that we support people who are dealing with issues surrounding gambling. And I don't really know anyone personally who's actually going through a gambling issue, but you hear about it throughout the circles of the AFL, and I think it's something that's not just an AFL issue, it's a society issue. So it's very similar to the drug issue and maybe alcoholism and that sort of thing. So I think the AFL and the PA are doing a good job of trying to educate and help people, but there's always more we can do. And I guess it's something that's a little bit taboo in the AFL. Guys probably aren't all that open about how they're actually going with it. And it's something that the more open you can be, that I imagine the better off you'll be in controlling what can be a really, really dangerous habit.
The Bulldogs this week, it's an interesting matchup for you because
we're playing a game this week, Ellie.
Yeah, that's right. That's
we always get that late.
Yeah, they played a really weird game against you earlier in the year. They really just tried to get the ball off you a lot of the time, and it was a real tactical battle. Do you expect the same thing again, or is it something that, did you learn a lot from that game to not get yourself sort of sucked into the way they want to play? What was your take out from that, and what can you learn going into this week?
I remember having the conversation after we played them, and it was basically that they sort of tried to hold the ball much more than they would usually, and try to slow the game down quite a bit, which actually suits us as well. They're a really good stoppage team, and you know their midfield's going as well as any. And when they're up and going, they're really hard to stop. So I think both sides like the fact that it can be a contested ball and stoppage game. And they probably try to change that a little bit last time we played them. I think we're defending a lot better than we were back then. That was back in like round four, I think, round four or five. So yeah, it's interesting. Like our game style won't change too much, and we'll just focus on putting as much pressure on them as we can, and which we always do, and trying to turn into a game that suits us.
You've had your break. Have you had a sort of a bit of a mid-season review of things where you sort of assess where you're at? I know Nathan had said that he just wasn't entirely comfortable with how you were playing, even though you were winning most of your games over the season. What has he said to you, and what have you sort of assessed when we get to that mid sort of season report?
Yeah, there's some things we're doing really, really well, and there's some areas that we haven't quite done as well as we would have liked. I think the positive for us is our ladder position, and the positive for us is the upside with guys to come back in. We've got fresh legs. We'll get some energy back in the side over the next couple of weeks. You know, Jeremy Elliott sitting on the sidelines and looks like he's going to return at any given moment. So then there's guys in the VFL who are playing really good footy. There's definitely some things that we can work on and some things we can improve. We're controlling most of our games. We're just probably not finishing as well as we'd like to, and putting enormous scoreboard pressure on teams. We should have iced Melbourne in the first quarter on Queen's birthday. So there's an example of us leaving points out there. But yeah, I think overall our season today has been really positive. You know, you don't necessarily need to be flying at this time of year and exerting, you know, excessive amounts of energy. So I think we're doing it pretty well.
Doing it very well is what you're doing, and more to come in the back end of the season, hopefully for you and your boys. Taylor, I'm looking forward to seeing you back out there as well sooner rather than later. I hope it's all going well with your rehab. We'll look forward to seeing you soon, and we'll catch up. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Go get it.
I feel like you're sort of like an Andrew Denton type situation. it's sort of a bit serious today.
Yeah, it was.
Well, it's been going on in the world of footy and sport and life and stuff, so it's good to be able to chat about it. Nice to have you open up to us on The Breakfast Club, 27-8. We'll get to a break. Mark Stevens. Not sure he's as open, but we'll find out what he's got for us from a news perspective. The number one news hound in footy from Channel 7 and our very own man at RSN will join us after this.